Okay, good morning. Thank you for all those who are praying for me on Sunday. I had a cold, so I couldn't host, and I was really sad to miss it. I got a few texts, so I appreciate that. I'm really excited about this topic of Sabbath, and staying home and resting while I was sick was a good practice. And then spiritual warfare came in last night, and I didn't get a lot of sleep. So I hope that things will make sense, because even though the enemy is strong, God is stronger. And I think there's something really to learning how to rest in God that's going to be really good for all of us, and for me as well. So before we get into the actual teaching this morning, I want to get into the schedule, which is at your table. Just want to go over a few things. First, I ordered the books ages ago, and they have just been delayed. So I'm really sorry that we don't have all the books. If you did not get a copy, we have the intro and lesson one at the table for you to grab, and hopefully they'll be here by next week. So we're going a little ad hoc. And then additionally, we have the schedule for until the end of the year here, and it's on your table as well. So the main thing is that next week we will be doing lesson one, and you have the lesson to prep for that. April 2nd, we have small group fellowship day. April 9th, we're not meeting. It's the week before Easter. On April 30th, it's not well defined, but we are going to have a time together to practice resting in the Lord. And I'm just really excited for us to come together as a big group and find ways to practice resting in God together. And then we'll end with a potluck. So any questions about the schedule? All right. When you get the book, this is the book, and it is great. I really love it so far. I highly recommend reading the intro when you get it. Again, we have the copies for you. And then the other really neat thing is at the end of each lesson, there's this now and later section, now or later section. And it's worth spending some time in that as well. So this book is rich with different things that you can do if you want to go deeper. And if not, some of the passages are long, but the text itself, the little devotional part, is actually quite short. So worth trying to cut out a few minutes every week, even if it's a really crazy week, to just read that ahead of time and glance over the questions and see if God brings one to mind for you to reflect on. Even though going through the scriptures themselves is a really incredible thing too. So this is a huge resource, and I'm excited for that. Hopefully, if you don't have a copy, you'll get one next week. Let me pray one more time. God, I'm so grateful for this study. So need it for myself, and pray that we would come before you and be able to create a space with you, where we can listen for your still small voice when we're in storms, where we can grow in seasons where you are growing us, excited to learn how to abide in new ways. We pray that coming out of the Sermon on the Mount, we wouldn't feel trapped in legalism or more action, but rather a healthy progression of people who love you more and more over time, and that would be an incentive to meet with you in new and inspiring ways. Pray against the enemy that might want us to get fixated on the details rather than fixated on you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So I just wanted to cover why we're going through this. Every time a series or book of the Bible gets picked, it's always this mixture of like prayer and conversation and what do I see and what do other people see. And I am just really excited about this because I think we live in a time and a place where the Sabbath is kind of come and gone. I know like in Germany it used to be that they literally would not have any store open on Sundays. So whether you were a believer or not, it was much easier to kind of live into a day of rest. And that has, like, we don't even understand that concept anymore in this day and age where we live. Also, we live in an area where people work hard and play hard, but they do not rest hard. And we're missing some things because I think a lot of us have forgotten how to rest. I know for me, when I rest, even on Sunday when I was trying to figure out should I go in to host or not, all of the instinct emotions were guilt, lack of responsibility, maybe I can pull it together, should I be doing this, how's it going to affect Dan, he has to get up there. All of those things are forefront, right? Because rest is not a word that we are well acquainted with in our culture. So I'm hoping that this is beneficial for everyone, but if you're really good at this, I'm hoping this will at least be beneficial for the people you know who are not good at this, and give you some ideas of what to do. Following the Sabbath as done in the Old Testament is really, really hard to do in our current age, and that's not what we're proposing when we're going over this study, but I'm just really excited to see what God uncovers. We're kind of going to be spending time going over these questions over the next few months. What is the Sabbath? How does it apply to the church now? And how is God calling me personally to Sabbath? How is God calling you personally to Sabbath in this season of life, not for all eternity? So let me just start with some of the basics. How would you define Sabbath? As you guys have thought about this or not thought about it, but have heard this word before, how would you personally define it?
Rest.
Good.
Stopping.
Good.
Resting in our doing.
All right. Good. Angela?
I have this image of me soaking in a hot tub.
Yeah. Image of soaking in a hot tub. I love that. Yeah. Like a very, very relaxing rest, right? Any other words or phrases or definitions that are coming to mind?
Dwelling.
Okay, Marie?
Sleep without nightmares.
Sleep without nightmares. Ooh, yeah, there you go.
Growing up, we just thought it was a fancy word for Sunday.
Yeah, fancy word for Sunday. Yeah, Peyton?
Intentional rest.
Ooh, I like that. That's good.
Completion.
Okay. Yeah, Janet?
Resting in what God has already done.
Completion. Good. Katie?
Lack of striving.
Good. So you guys are just writing it all for me. This is awesome. There's so many angles to this, and we have the Hebrew and the Jewish perspective of Sabbath, and then we have the Christian perspective of the Sabbath, and then we have kind of the personal. And so all of these different definitions are looking at this whole thing and the complexity of it and highlighting different aspects, and that's really awesome. And we're going to do a little bit of both this morning. In Hebrew, it just means to rest. The title of this book, Sabbath, the Gift of Rest. So Sabbath and rest are linked. Because Sabbath is a specific form of resting, right? Sleep is rest, going on vacation is rest, but Sabbath is a specific form of rest that we're going to be talking about. And from the Old Testament or Jewish perspective, Sabbath is an entire day to rest and commune with God and others, to cease working, to cease creating, and to focus our attention on being thankful for what God has already done. And so they have tons of laws and ways of doing that, that they implement an actual day of rest. And so just to give us a little bit of a modern, updated version of how Jews practice this now, I'm going to show a little video about Shabbat, which is what they call Sabbath. Oh, I realized.
So maybe you're Jewish and wondering how to get started doing this Shabbat thing. Or maybe you're not Jewish, and you want to better appreciate what your friend is up to, or why your coworker leaves early on Fridays. Let's look at two things. Why people do Shabbat, and how. Okay, so why? It's the single most important building block of living a Jewish life, according to pretty much everyone. The Torah explains in chapter 1 that God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he's still creating. So to mark that, and appreciate creation, Jews cease creating things we love. We live life in the realm of space, going places, making things, buying and fixing stuff. We have to focus on the physical world on a day-to-day basis, and sure, we can do it mindfully. But Shabbat is a maneuver into the world of time, letting go of making, buying, fixing, entering what Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel famously called a palace in time. It's hard to set aside phone, the email, the cleaning, the errands, but that's the whole point, to set aside the time for something holy. It not only connects you to God, but also to yourself and the whole of the Jewish people. It creates a rhythm to life with the Sabbath quote of rest time. Now, to the how. People talk about Shabbat being a day of not working or a day of rest. Jewish tradition actually defines 39 categories of creating each work, planting, building, hoisting stuff around, that you're supposed to refrain from on Shabbat. And traditionally observant Jews extrapolate from that to mean no email, no errands, no driving, cooking, or using technology. It's more than what's not done. Making Shabbat, or as you might hear it said, keeping Shabbat, means making sacred time. People bring in Shabbat by lighting candles at sundown and go from a dinner with challah and wine and singing to a morning maybe spent at services hearing about the Torah portion, to a big lunch with friends or a picnic in the park. There are naps, strolls around the neighborhood, books, text studies, games, lots of low-key pastimes. It ends at nightfall on Saturday with a candle putting out ritual called Havdalah. There are tons of ways to celebrate Shabbat. And if you want to know more specifics about challah, candles, or songs, or how to say some of the blessings, we have plenty of resources for you. Heschel said that things do not lend significance to a moment. It is the moment that lends significance to things. Taking a day to live this way can bring a sense of wholeness, or in Hebrew, shalom. So let's end with a wish for Shabbat shalom.
All right. So I love this video because it kind of gives a perspective of, like, there's lots of ways to do it, but this is how the Jewish culture does it. And I think that quote is actually the same quote that is in our first lesson. But from the same person. And this sense of resting, and resting from work, creating, from striving, from worry. It's not just the sense of go on vacation, but rather the low-key activities, the slowness, the taking the time to just be, to acknowledge what God has done. And even though it can be a rush to get everything done, there's no meal planning, there's no meal cooking, there's no, like, what are we going to do next, because you're just being. And that sounds really appealing to me, because I feel like we don't really have that. It's not this sense of, now I need to go from work to entertainment, but now I need to go from work and entertainment and striving and concern and planning to just being, which I think often also includes boredom at the beginning, because we're just not used to that. It's a muscle that we're not used to stretching. And I also love this video because it has a phrase that I think defines how I think of Christian Sabbath, which is making sacred time. Making sacred time. So I want to just pause on that. It's this great sense of, do I make sacred time? What does that actually look like in this season of life, in my current relationship with the Lord? Or is it all this, like, multitasking, prayer in the moment thing? And she mentioned that too. That's great too. But they have a rhythm one day a week where they make the time for this. So just a quick poll for you to think about. Where are you with making sacred time with God? Are you on the one end, not good, don't really have any purposeful focus time with God, or time to just really, even focus time with yourself to just be? Are you constantly getting input? Are you okay, you have some regular bursts of focus time, but you're still not satisfied with the rhythm you have? You great solid rhythms, touch points where you really feel you can break from the hassles and the haste of life to focus on God. So on a scale of 1 to 10, just kind of think about where are you at. And if you're brave, you can shout out some numbers where you think you're at.
Not good.
Not good. One. Thank you for being vulnerable. Anyone else? One. I think I'm probably at a 3.
I think had you asked me in like the first week of December, I would have been like a negative two. Like I felt so like, where is any of this focus time? I'm trying, but it's not coming at all. In college, I felt like I was like at an eight. Like even though I had deadlines and all these things, I felt like I had a rhythm and like, you know, your Christian life is like right there with you and like you can go into each other's rooms and pray at any time. And like, it just felt so nice. But I'm thankful to be at a three even, but know that there's such a long way to go. And I think that that's a common struggle for us in life, no matter where we are in life. I'm going to quote Lynn Bapp a few times today, and I just want to read how she opens this study. This is on page 5. Sabbath is not an everyday term in our culture. What is the Sabbath? A weekly day of rest and worship, a day to rejoice in abundance, a day to practice thankfulness, a day to slow down, take a deep breath, step aside from work and worries, and let the world go on without us, knowing that God is caring for everyone and everything. And I know that when I, just thinking about even just this Sunday with the cold, I find myself too important, and like, what are other people's concerns, and what are they thinking, and what if I don't do X, Y, and Z? And I think we forget that God is the one in control and the one who is responsible, and it's really refreshing to know that the world just is just fine without you stepping up to the plate, because it's God's doing in the first place. We're going to see that in Scripture in a moment, too. But I just love that way to open our time. A day to rejoice in abundance. So it's not just like take, 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 and it's just boredom. There is a focus to it, and there is resting with the Lord in it. Another quote from Lauren Winner. We had her come out maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago. She was raised as a Jew, and her family did all the Jewish practices. She converted to Christianity, and she wrote this book on an invitation to a life of spiritual discipline. And it's really fascinating, and Sabbath is the first one. And she kind of writes from this Jewish-Christian perspective that's really interesting, and she's funny. And she writes this: "Still, I miss the Jewish ways. I miss the rhythms and routines that drew the sacred down into the everyday. I miss the Sabbaths on which I actually rested. I have even found that I miss the drudgery of keeping kosher. I miss the work these practices affected between me and God." She goes on to say later in that chapter that the Jewish people act where the Christian people have faith. To them it's the same. But through that action, it changes our relationship with the Lord, because they are setting apart time and disciplines that help them connect with God. And sometimes I think as Christians, we fall on the other side. It's kind of all this like emotional, intellectual, internal thing, and then the action is hard to follow. Instead of sometimes allowing the action to open up our emotions, our intellect, so that we can turn towards God in a new way. So I really appreciate that. And then she goes on to describe this friend who frantically on Friday, every Friday, because Shabbat starts sundown on Friday. So they're like running to the store and like taking their showers and cleaning, because there's no cleaning on Saturdays. Like, how wonderful. They do all these things. They're in this like mad rush. Quick, 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 wash my hair, wash my hair, wash my hair. And then they just like calm. And so it's like that. If I were to practice this like Sabbath the way that they do in the Jewish community, that would be my Friday. Every Friday would be just crazy, like, you know, doing the last minute errands, cooking that last dish, so that you can have actual rest. And they love it, even though there's this like a few hours of period right at the end of the day where they're scrambling to get it set up. Feels a little bit like a wedding that way. It needs to be done so that we can get this thing, you know, there's an importance and a sacredness to this. We can't just put this off, because then that'll affect how the ceremony goes. And some of that is the way that Shabbat happens as well. So I think sometimes when we talk about Sabbath, we jump to where Jesus talks about the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
And then we can just kind of like want to add it into our lives. Like, I'll just have intentional time every morning with the God, 5 minutes here and there. And we kind of miss this, like, what is God actually calling us to? What kind of rhythm is he calling us to in our current state of life? So I want to just jump into scripture, because I'm really excited to see how God opens us all up to different ways of living out Sabbath, making time, making sacred time with the Lord. So let's jump into Psalm 127. This is one of my favorite psalms for a lot of reasons. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemy in the gate. I felt it's so ironic that I was going to sleep with this psalm in mind, because then I couldn't go to sleep. And I was up really, really late, focused on something that I'm never anxious about, and could not rest because I needed to figure it out. And I'm literally praying, like, God, I don't want to be eating the bread of anxious toil. You give to your beloved sleep. Can I please sleep? And, like, how ironic that I'm going to get up in 6 hours and teach on rest while I am not resting. Help me rest. And I think truly some of that is spiritual warfare around this, because this psalm is really, really helpful. We're going to go verse for verse, but before we get into this, we need to know that this is a song of ascents. Can someone describe what a song of ascents is from what you know? Anyone want to explain it? The Israelites were going up to Jerusalem for three festivals, or three times a year, that they would go up and they would sing these songs, and they would have this community time as they're going to celebrate and commune with the Lord. To me, it's almost like Christmas hymns, where there are certain times of year that you sing certain things. There are certain songs we sometimes sing on Easter, and they evoke this spiritual reaction. They are meant for this time and place, and they help center your mind and heart and soul on what you're supposed to be doing. And what I love about this psalm and the Song of Ascents is they are literally doing Sabbath, not from the Jewish perspective because they're walking, so they're currently working, but they are setting apart physical time and space to commune with God in a sacred and special way. So in that definition, they're practicing a version of what we would call Sabbath. It's Psalms 120, oh, that's really small, I'm sorry. Psalms 120 to 134, and many scholars believe it indicates the psalms were sung by worshipers as they ascended the road to Jerusalem to attend the three pilgrim festivals. So here we go to the first verse. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Similar to the abiding passage that Kathy taught a few weeks ago, this centers us on a very critical thing about our Christian faith and about Sabbath, which is if God's not doing it, it's futile. Like, it's just not worth it. So if you just say, great, Sabbath sounds great, I'm just going to do it, but there's no relationship with the Lord, there's no leading from the Lord, there's no prayer trying to figure it out, then it's just more that you're striving to do. It's just that extra frantic to get there for something that the Lord is not calling you into. And so as we're talking about this series, the really big foundation is that this verse speaks about all of our faith, is that if the Lord does not build it, it is in vain. And I just love that. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And I feel like this psalm is like written for our current culture. I know for me sometimes the resting feels irresponsible, but I think this verse is the reminder that it is not my responsibility to do all the things. It's my responsibility to follow the Lord and ask him what he is calling me to. And that's really, really hard when there's tons of voices, our own childhoods, our own culture, our own parents. No matter what age we are, we still have our mom and dad's voice just tucked deep in our heart. All of those things can influence how we make decisions. And the reminder that it is God who builds is really important. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. I would like to send this to all the CEOs of the companies. I would like to send this. I had this on my mirror for a long time because I sometimes work too hard to prove myself. Not because yes, I love what I do sometimes, but oftentimes I find it's because I'm trying to prove something too. Prove something to my parents, prove something to myself, prove something to the people who I love. And what am I trying to prove to God? Where is God in that equation? And I have to remind myself of that often. And so the question that, to me, that comes out of this, are we eating the daily bread of God? Or are we eating the bread of anxious toil? Do you feel satisfied with what God is doing in you? Or do you feel the anxiety of eating the bread of anxious toil? And then I know my answer often is the anxiety piece to that. So we're just going to sum up these last ones. They feel a little bit odd. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So we see a strong, positive image of family and children. And I wonder often, so what does this have to do with rest? Because I was memorizing these verses while I had babies and was not sleeping and was thinking, God, you give to your beloved rest. So does that mean you do not love me because I'm not sleeping? And I knew that wasn't true, but the more I reflected on this, it's like this paradox of you have called me to something that literally is good and requires lack of sleep. And do we not all have seasons of that? Where someone is sick in our lives, where work requires much, and you feel the Lord is calling you to that. And so what is this dichotomy? And to me, what it really says is, especially in the moments where sleep is not there, where the burden is too heavy, where the responsibility is overwhelming, that is exactly when you need the focus, that it is God's responsibility, that you need to find a way to rest in him, even if it is not a full day of Sabbath. But that fight is the important fight because we can get really wrapped up in all of the priorities that come with the responsibility that we've been given. And that responsibility can be from the Lord or it can be from our culture or from ourselves, but especially in those seasons when work is crazy, when your family is very demanding, when you have an ill parent, when you have a coworker who is just requiring so much, especially in those seasons, is this rest, is this Sabbath important to look at instead of to not prioritize and get back to? It probably needs to change in those seasons, but cannot be eliminated. And I know I have felt the burden and the anxiety from eliminating that rhythm of my life because other things have crowded in, good responsibilities. And so to me, this is a reminder and a question as we go into the study. How is God asking you to make sacred space for him? Whether you're in a season of calm or you're in a season of storm or you're in a season of great responsibility. And I think of Jesus who was going to the cross and his poor disciples just wanted to rest. And he said, no, we need to be praying. So there are seasons he calls us into, not rest, but yet resting in him intentionally. So how is God asking you to make sacred space for him? I'll just read again from Lynn's book in the intro on page 6 and 7. She said, each study focuses on a different aspect of Sabbath. Over the course of the 8 studies, you will explore a variety of things you might stop doing on the Sabbath and a variety of things you might do on the Sabbath.
If you desire to start a Sabbath observance, watch your reactions to these 8 studies. Notice which studies resonate most deeply with you, and pay particular attention to the things you name in each of those studies that you might stop doing or begin doing on the Sabbath. I love that this study is an exploration of what God is resonating in you and what doesn't resonate in this season of life. For some people, studying scripture is very fulfilling, and this might be a season where diving into that will just grow immense fruit in your life. But there are seasons where that is a hindrance to our relationship with God because we need to experience His goodness in a new way. And not to say you shouldn't study scripture, but then to allow God to create in you a different way of resting in Him and exploring that with Him and saying in prayer, God, reading scripture is really hard right now. What do you have for me? How can I rest in you? How can I create sacred space with you? Is a worthwhile question to ask, a worthwhile exploration. And so as we go through this study, don't feel like you have to do all of the things, but rather notice what God is bringing up in you. Notice what He's highlighting for you from the teaching, but from the book, from prayer, from conversation, just from the Holy Spirit within your heart. Notice. Notice what's working and what's not. And don't feel guilt if it's not working. I think that's really important. The enemy wants us to feel guilty at every turn, and that's not what God wants. God is inviting you to create sacred space with Him. So every teaching, we're going to leave the teaching with 2 questions for you to reflect on and give you 2 to 3 minutes to just jot down what God is doing. And the 2 questions are, did God bring something up that you want to reflect on more? Sometimes I feel like we're in a teaching and we're like, oh yeah, that one point, and then we go on to the next thing and have forgotten it. So you have a moment to write that down. And then each week asking again the question, how is God asking you to make sacred space for Him, and seeing if that answer changes, if something new comes about. Don't feel like you need to stick to this, but it's just a moment to take before the Lord and practice a little bit of rest and see what God is bringing up before you. And we're going to do that and then close in prayer and then dismiss in the small group. So it'll just be a couple of minutes each week to do this. So I pray for us that as we embark on this study, we're not just listening and agreeing like, oh, rest sounds so good, but rather that we would be attentive to what God is doing, including if we're just full of distractions, that we're just honest about that. If our mind is wandering, if my mind is up late worrying about things I shouldn't be, it kept coming back to God going, God, I know you're in this, even though this is really annoying and tiring. But can we do that in this study as well? Can we be honest with Him and ourselves? What is God bringing up? I'm really excited, like I said earlier, to just hear from you of how God is doing this. And I have a couple of ideas of how to do Sabbath, but I'm really looking forward to hearing from you how God is implementing this in your life, what God is bringing up, what creative ways you have found to make sacred space for God. And I think we'll learn from one another as we kind of explore from Lynn Babb's book, but also just from hearing one another. So if you have an idea as we're doing this, feel free to shout it out or come and let me know, and we'll give you a couple minutes to share on it, because I think that's going to be a really fruitful part of the study, is just hearing from your relationship with the Lord and your life experience. Let me close this in prayer. Lord, you ask us to be still and know that you are God. Coming here is a way of creating sacred space. We are here to seek you through prayer, through friendship, through fellowship, through scripture, through teaching. It is all meant to prioritize our relationship with you. And I pray that this would be time for us to create sacred space. If there are ways for us to stop doing something or start doing something so that we can meet intentionally with you, would you bring that to our hearts, to our minds? Would you help us really try something new in that area? Whether that be 5 minutes a day, whether that be a few hours or a full day, would you highlight ways that work for the season that we each are in individually? Would you help us be creative? Would your Spirit lead us and guide us so that we could meet with you and realize the priority of our life should be you and not work and not toil and not anxiety? And as we practice this and might experience boredom, might experience more anxiety, might feel really uncomfortable and sore like working a new muscle, Would you give us the grace to see some of the fruit? And would you give us the endurance to keep trying and to practice a new way or a renewed way or rhythm of meeting with you so that our relationship with you can continue to thrive, so that your love is evident to us and to those around us, so that pruning is in the context of your good and generous, kind heart. Thank you for the time to study together and be honest with one another. Thank you for these women and how you have engaged with each of them in their own way. In your name we pray. Amen.